Welcome back to Community Connections, and I have with me now Forever Friends, and we've had them in a couple of times before, and we want to know what's been going on in the last probably 6 or 8 months since we spoke to them. And also I should make mention that the Woori Community House just down the road is asking for ladies to do some knitting for them. Not so much for the beanies. We did ask for beanies a few weeks ago when Community House were in. But they're asking for people if they'd look at knitting up some dog coats and that. But we'll be talking to them through the next hour. But welcome to Saskia and also Ez. Welcome.
Thank you. Alan, thanks.
Good to have you back. Now, it's some time since we met. You were building all sorts of things. So let's tell us a bit about what's happened in the last few months, please.
Oh, sure. We've had a very exciting few months. In January, we opened our rehabilitation kennels at our animal sanctuary at Gladysdale, so just up the road, not far from Yarra Junction.
Yep.
We've got a beautiful 100-acre sanctuary that we've been developing over the past 4 years for all sorts of animals in need, from dogs to cats to horses, goats, sheep, ducks, pigs, alpacas, bit of everything.
and before we just go on, because I think this is very important, a lot of this you're funding yourselves, aren't you? It's not some government that are handing out your great big grants, are they?
That's correct, yeah. Ez and I invested in the property, wanting to do more for homeless animals in need. And, yes, we're lucky to receive some small grants from state government from time to time, but the charity is completely volunteer-run and funded just by the generosity of the community, really.
And I guess you're always looking for more people who would like to donate as well, aren't you?
Yes, we are, yeah.
All right, so let's go back. You're saying that you've had some exciting times. What's actually been happening?
The biggest news was, I think, the
opening of the kennels.
Opening of the kennels. Yeah. It was the culmination of a 7-year plan to open a rehabilitation kennels and a cattery to really help our work with dogs and cats who've gone through the most in terms of neglect, abuse, and all sorts of horrible things that we do see. So those dogs and cats, even though we've been working with them in foster homes since we began about 11 years ago, it emerged pretty quickly that there was always some animals in need who couldn't go straight into foster homes, who needed, you know, some really careful assessment first for medical and behavioural problems before they would be ready to be in a home environment. And often those are the animals who've experienced, you know, some pretty horrific things. So being able to build the kennels and the cattery sort of, you know, it makes us, it increases our life-saving capacity considerably and also helps the animals who are at most at need.
It's terrible to think that animals can be so badly treated by adults, isn't it? That they and I saw an ad the other day on TV, and I don't know who it was for, but dogs that hadn't been fed, like, they could hardly stand up. It's just unbelievable.
It is horrific. We've seen everything from, you know, evidence of torture to an animal.
Torture?
Yeah. There was a dog that came in with some significant blowtorch injuries that obviously someone had put him through.
Yeah, I guess neither of us are psychologists.
Yeah.
But what would why would somebody do that to an animal?
I think today's animal abusers can be tomorrow's serial killers and murderers, quite frankly. I think there's been some studies to show that some people who are extremely disturbed start off with abusing and torturing animals and move up from there. So I think it's really important as a society to realise that, you know, if those people are identified early and, you know, given some treatment through the justice system and so on, it can be a very good thing in general because, yeah, they tend to be extremely mentally ill.
So with your new rehabilitation kennels, how long would you expect an animal to be in, or is that how long is a bit of string?
Yeah, Yeah, it is held on as a piece of string, but we do find animals are much more resilient than many humans. So, yeah, look, some dogs we've particularly worked with will never fully recover, and they just need to find a very understanding home that will be very patient and gentle with them. Other dogs will bounce back incredibly quickly. So it's very much up to the individual animal, and, yeah, it's just a beautiful journey to watch too, an animal moving from, you know, fear to joy, from distrust to trust. So it's quite a privilege to work with these animals, isn't it, Ez?
Yes. Surprisingly, it is surprising how much these animals can recover very quickly.
Is it?
Whereas others...
You'd think they'd never trust again, wouldn't you?
Well, you would, but they do, and there's nothing like a gentle hand on the head when they're really disturbed and upset.
Is that?
Yeah. You just get their head in your lap, etc., and just look after them in general.
Yeah. Well, and then, so, like, also the cattery. Why is the cattery different to what the other one is that we've just been talking about? Is that...
The cattery will also be a rehabilitation space for cats who might have experienced abuse or neglect. But the other big need we have for cats as a rescue organisation is a space where a pregnant cat can have their litter of kittens, or a quiet spot for a mum cat who's coming in with a litter of kittens to just raise them, because we... A lot of the cats we rescue from pounds and shelters this time of year, leading up to sort of September, October, are pregnant cats.
Oh, I know. Yep.
Yeah, because kitten season starts from about October to March. And those cats, you know, some people find it a bit hard to have a cat and lots of kittens running around their living room. So our cattery will have space for those mums and bubs to be together in fairly large sized rooms. So lots of space for mum to get away from the bubs as well.
It's no different with adults, is it?
No.
All right, look, I'll just take one quick break and we'll be back with more.
Trailhead full of zombies. I met a strange lady. She made me nervous. She took me in and gave me breakfast. And she said, do you come from a land down under? Where women go and men wonder. Can't you hear the thunder? You better run, you better take cover.
And welcome back to Community Connections. I have with me Saskia and Ez from Forever Friends. I guess at an organisation like yourself, like it is volunteer based, people don't get paid and new people don't get paid. I think you do a terrific job. So are you always looking for volunteers?
Oh, always, and in all sorts of skill sets too. Like, for example, at the sanctuary, we can always do with more people to sign up to become a dog walker or a dog cuddler. And when the cattery opens soon, we're going to need some kitten cuddlers as well.
What do they do, just come up and cuddle the kids?
Yeah, literally. Yeah. And for some animals who've perhaps been in a pound or a shelter for months before they come to us, or they've, you know, been in a home perhaps where they've been tied up in the backyard for months, sometimes they just want company. So I do say to people, if you're not an athletic young person, don't worry, you don't have to be. You can just
don't
come
have to
up
run
and
after them.
Yeah, you can just come up and cuddle a kitten, or take one of the dogs for a drive, you know, help them get out and about and feel a bit more normal again.
So how many volunteers a week would you have go through the place?
Oh, good question.
Maybe about 30 or 40.
Yeah, we have some fantastic volunteers from Interchange Lilydale come in on a Thursday, and that they've got various special needs, and they get stuck in. Some of the adults are non-verbal, and they can still hold a hose and, you know, help scrub a bucket.
And I guess, like, when you talk the dog walker or something like that, you're not going to match them up with a great big Alsatian if they can't cope with a mate.
No, not at all. Yeah, most of the dogs that do need walks and company are medium to large dogs. We don't often get small dogs. So, but, you know, if a walking a large dog is beyond your means, then we always want dog cuddlers as well. We would also love helpers with cleaning in the mornings at the moment. That's one of our biggest needs in the kennels.
Cleaning out the kennels.
Out the kennels. I know it doesn't sound like fun, but it can be good, particularly for younger people who perhaps want to get some experience in the animal sheltering industry. Yep. Might be good for animal studies students. And it involves, obviously, you know, hosing out but moving dogs around, perhaps helping feed them, do some medication.
I was just going to mention feeding. Like, with all these animals you've got, like, it'd be a major chore every morning to feed them, wouldn't it?
It certainly is, yeah. Ez is great with chopping up the food,
don't you, Ez? Yeah, well, there's an hour's work in feeding in the base, just preparing the meals.
Is there?
Yeah. Sure. And then there's in addition, there's also all the farm animals, the horses, the pigs, the goats, the alpacas, they all want to eat at some stage, and they get very indignant if they're not fed.
Do they?
Oh, yes. They let you know.
They let you know it's time to be feeding.
Oh, yeah. The pigs are particularly vocal in that area.
Are they?
Yeah, the term eat like a pig is deserved, I'm afraid.
So I guess apart from the volunteers, you're also probably looking for donations from people who, either give money to help feed the animals or I guess if anyone's listening has got a business, you know, pet food in all versions you could use, couldn't you?
Yeah, we're a registered charity, so any donation over $2 is tax deductible. We'd particularly love to hear from any local businesses who might be interested in sponsoring one of the dog or cat pens that we're launching as well. And that would be in exchange for a partnership offer between our two organisations where we can assist, you know, with promoting a business and how they support Forever Friends, and then they do the same vice versa. So, yeah, we're always particularly wanting to partner with local businesses who, you know, care about animals and want to do a little bit for them.
Well, that's terrific. All right, look, we've just got to take one more quick break and we'll be back with more.
Yeah.
Welcome back to Community Connections, and we're talking to Forever Friends. Just a quick call out. We did have the Woori Community House in here about a month ago, and we were talking all things about their programs, and they were telling us that they've got a knitting group. You can either come into the Woori Community House and do some knitting down there, or you can come in and get some wool and take it home. One of their features at the moment is that they really would like people to do some knitting for dog coats, because the dogs get cold and we don't want them to get cold. So coats like that, or I don't know, do cats wear coats, or is it only dogs?
I think a cat might only need a coat if it has a medical condition or an issue with its fur. I don't think I've ever had to put a coat on a cat.
Because I don't know how you'd put a coat on a cat, actually. They could be a bit reluctant in that direction.
I know I've got a little dog, and on the cold days I don't know whether he really means it or just wants something, but he just sits there and shakes, and we have to put a coat on him.
Yeah.
Saskia, I'll just ask you one quick question, which is a little bit off what we're doing, and you have agreed to be part of Choice Tunes, so we'll find out a lot more about you later in the year. But what possessed you? I presume you're a young lady because you were living close to the city. What made you think, I need to do something for animals?
His name was Ned, a little Jack Russell Cross Foxy. And Ned, I'm glad to say, is still with us, but he's very, very old now. And I was loving my paid job at Penguin Books. I was an editor and had a lovely little house in Hawthorne. Everything was going beautifully. And this little dog, Ned, turned up and changed my life forever. And basically I'd heard that there was animals in need of fostering, dogs in need of fostering, and through a different rescue group.
Yeah.
So I signed up to do that, and this little dog turned up from a country pound. He was happy, healthy, friendly. He'd been on death row just hours earlier under the threat of, you know, so-called euthanasia. And I was just so disgusted to think that animals like Ned were being killed for no reason.
Because he wasn't sick, was he?
Sick, nothing. Yeah, just because a lot of pounds, particularly country pounds, are just underfunded. They don't have adoption programs. So unless, you know, strays are reclaimed by their owners, a lot of them just die. Yeah. And we have many stories of animals being shot down at the local tip by country pounds. It's actually legal for country pounds and shelters to shoot their animals instead of euthanasia. So I got to know this little dog and just thought, if there's anything more I can do apart from just fostering one or two animals, you know, every few months, I need to do it. So that was my motivation. And yeah, so I had to give up the publishing world. I couldn't do both very well. So that's how it all started.
And then you started off with a lot smaller place than what you've got now, didn't you?
Yeah, we were still living in Hawthorne, and just thought we'd help dogs and cats in need in the pounds, but obviously needed a bit more space. So we headed to Macclesfield, Ez and I, and we were on 9 acres there, and then word got around there was space for perhaps someone's goat or sheep, you know, or someone's horse was in need. So we started being asked to take farm animals, which we never really planned for, but didn't like to say no. So we fell into doing farm animal rescue too.
Oh, that's great. Well, the other thing that I will ask you, and I know you've told me once before, but I'm not sure, how do you get the animals? Are they only from pounds? And how do the pounds know that you exist?
Yeah, so primarily we want to help animals on death row and pounds and shelters. So it can be country pounds and it can be city pounds as well. So, and some of them have reached out to us, and other times we approach them and say, we have the capacity to help, this is who we are and what we do. And so those pounds and shelters that want to partner with us do so, and they contact us sometimes via email or by phone to say this or that dog or cat is in need. They'll send us photos, they'll explain what their issues are, and basically beg for help for that animal.
So how far afield do you go to pick up an animal?
Victoria wide. So there's an extraordinary thing that happens every Wednesday, and it's called the Northwest Run. And it's happening this afternoon as well, And volunteers do a sweep through a lot of the country pounds in the northwest, Mildura, Swan Hill.
As far as Mildura?
Yeah, Robinvale. Mm. They leave at about 6 a.m. There's a lawn trailer. People at the pounds hand over the animals that rescue groups are willing to help in Melbourne here.
Yep.
All those animals go on the trailer and are driven down every Wednesday afternoon, and people from the rescue groups like myself will go out to a petrol station near Calder Park where there's a big truck parking area.
Yeah.
And the animals arrive there and we all stand there waiting to pick them up and take them off to our respective homes or sanctuaries.
So do you know what, like, if you were going out, if you weren't here talking to me, if you were out there today, do you know what animals are coming to you, or do you just take a pick out of what comes off the trailer?
No, we pre-arrange which ones we can accommodate.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So I've even been out there and picked up two little baby goats. Sometimes farm animals end up in pounds too.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
you've picked up a horse occasionally too, haven't you?
Yeah. Sometimes horses are in need through the pound system. We had a couple of horses come in who'd been seized from their owner who wasn't looking after them. So, yeah, that can happen as well.
So do they come down on the trailer just the same, or?
No, we tend to have to pick them up separately, you know, in a proper horse transport truck.
Yep.
Yeah, but all the small animals head down in this huge trailer, and it's a very long day for them. You know, it's a good 6-7 hours, and they arrive quite, you know, sometimes very stressed and disoriented and frightened. So everyone's keen to get them out of there quickly and into a home environment or back to the sanctuary.
It must be terrific for the animal, like, not the trip, but once they know that, hey, this is, you know, I'm in this peaceful area rather than where I've been stuck in this pound. It must be terrific for the animal.
Oh, it absolutely is. And there's something Ez and I have identified, and in some of the dogs we fostered, when a dog comes in for a pound at a shelter, often they've barely slept for weeks or months because they're such noisy places and terrifying. So an animal rarely gets the sleep they need in that environment. And we found on the first night on their couch with us, haven't we, Ez, where they just let out this huge sigh. Yeah.
Do they?
Yeah, and it's quite incredible to see and very moving.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, it must be terrific.
Mm, yeah.
All right, look, we'll take a quick break and we'll be back with more. Siska, what's the most unusual sort of animals that you've ever been asked to take on board?
To rehoming, I would say a huntsman spider and some goldfish.
Why would anyone give you a huntsman?
Well, it was actually in my home at the time, and my mum was coming to stay, and she's not keen on spiders. And one of my volunteers was with me, and she offered to take the huntsman home to her place. But what's really funny is it was a very hot day, and we put the huntsman in a Chinese container with air holes, and she got into her car, and this was when we lived at Macclesfield, and she's heading down Wellington Road, you know, near the big dam there.
Yes, yep.
Next thing, flashing lights behind her, she's pulled over by the police, who tell her that she is driving an unregistered vehicle. She didn't know that, you know, it had expired. And he made her get out and said she couldn't drive the car home, and she had to call her husband and to come get her. But she had three little dogs in the car with her and the huntsman spider. So she had to put the car off the side of the road, stand there in very difficult conditions with her huntsman spider in one hand and the three little dogs on the lead in the other, and wait by the road for a lift home. So I'm not sure what her husband thought of the huntsman catching a lift with them. But
was all that good? look, again, we just need to mention that you are always looking for volunteers, and they don't have to be able body, like you don't have to be able to run a mile or whatever, whether it be with the cats and the dogs and all the other various things, and also to help as feed the animals. So I guess we're saying that basically almost anyone could be a volunteer for you, couldn't they?
Yeah, absolutely. Oh, yeah. And even people who work from home, you know, we often need help with administration or organising transport. We use social media a lot, Facebook and Instagram, so you don't even physically have to be able to come out to the sanctuary. Yep. The other thing we're always desperate for is more foster carers, so that's people like yourself who might love animals and have room in your heart and home for one more, a dog or a cat.
When you're saying foster, do they take them just for a period? Or till they eventually...
It can be short or long-term, you can choose. Long-term carers are our biggest need, and that is you have the animal in your care from their arrival to when they're adopted. Yeah. And that can take anything from weeks to months. But while you're a foster carer with us, we take care of all the vet bills and help with any training the animal needs. And we can even provide donated food and all the, you know, coats and bowls and leads and everything. So it's not a financial imposition. It's more... we just want people who, want to give some love and cuddles and exercise to a pet in need.
Terrific. Now, I've never heard this phrase before, but you talk about pocket pets. What's a pocket pet?
So pocket pets are rabbits, guinea pigs, rats, mice, ferrets. We don't get much of the latter, but we are always looking for more people to foster or adopt rabbits and guinea pigs. There's a lot of pounds and shelters at the moment begging us to take rabbits and guinea pigs.
So we're talking white rabbits, aren't they? So how would a ferret wind up at a pound, do you know?
Look, every animal can end up at a pound through no fault of their own, and it's often people, perhaps becoming sick, no longer able to look after them or can't afford them anymore. Someone in the family might be suddenly allergic. That's another thing that can go wrong. So, you'd be amazed at some of the reasons people have to give up their animals, and some are very sad reasons and they don't want to. And there's a lot of tears, but there's sometimes... just no other way around it. So we're also there for members of the public who might need to surrender their pets, but we always try and help animals at pounds and shelters first because they're in the most dire need.
Well, they're the most need, aren't they?
Yeah.
So I'm just trying to do two things at one time, and I shouldn't be trying to do that. So I guess for a person to be a foster carer, what are you looking for there? I mean, it doesn't matter whether they're single, old, young or whatever, does it?
Well, not. I mean, I'm 70 years old and working in the sanctuary as much every day. But we can use any age volunteers from say 18 to 80.
Absolutely. You just need to
have empathy for animals and
patience, understanding.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Look, I'll take just one more quick break. And of course, I played in the last hour an Olivia Newton John, and I'm going to play another one for old Olivia. She's done a terrific amount, not only for entertainment, but certainly with the Wellness Centre at the at Heidelberg there for the cancer. She was a real supporter of people. I've never met her, and I guess most of us haven't, but all report she was a really terrific lady. So let's listen to one of the songs that she made popular, Olivia Newton-John and Xanadu. It's a bit of a sad week. This I was here on Sunday doing Music Memories and More, and we were paying tribute to Judith Durham and now, of course, Olivia Newton-John. So let's listen to Olivia. To Olympia, Olivia Newton-John. Very sad. Been a sad week. We're talking to Saskia. Saskia, we've been talking about a lot of things, about this organisation you run for it, Forever Friends, and it deserves to be reported for people to know a lot more about it. One of the things I will mention again is the Wurri Community House. You they are doing netting for them, and at the moment they're in a real need for dog coats. Now, they will give you the pattern down at the Wiri Community House. They'll even give you the wool. You can either come in a couple of hours a week and do the netting there with other ladies, or I should say whoever, or you can just take the wool and take it home and knit them up and then drop them back to Wiri Community House, and they will get them to Forever Friends. So if you can do that, do it. But Saskia, we've been talking about a lot of this, and most of this we must acknowledge is funded by you and you get a few little grants, but basically it's just you and him. So what sort of donations, if we've got people listening now, apart from financial, what other donations would you like?
Look, I suppose with kitten season coming up, we'd love some supplies for cats and kittens. So wet cat and kitten food, cat litter would be fantastic. Dog food we're pretty well off for. We get some fantastic donations from some companies, but we never have enough for the cats.
Yep.
Dog leads, dog beds. We never have enough dog beds.
Yeah.
Yeah, so almost anything.
And toys. I guess the other thing you're still looking for too, apart from donation, well, obviously you're going to take financial ones too if someone wants to make a donation, or you know, support one of these... I just can't think of the word, that you've just had your opening, like the cattery and that.
Yeah.
I guess you'd sell the name rights to that for someone who came along with enough money, wouldn't you?
Yeah, so we have on offer to sponsor a pen, and that's a yearly donation, and we put the business or the person's name on the pen and their logo, so everyone that comes in can see their support.
Oh, that's good. So... businesses out there, there's your opportunity. You really don't have to do much. All you've got to do is come up with some money each year.
That's right.
And I guess the other thing too that we've covered a couple of times now, you're still looking for people for the long-term foster care?
Yeah, we're really desperate at the moment. All the pounds and shelters are chockers, overflowing with animals who've been surrendered or worse. So we can only help them if we've got enough people willing to assist with giving them a roof over their head for a short or longer term.
Saskia, is it part of this due to COVID that people bought these little pets and because they're home by themselves, wanted company, and now things have changed, they're sort of going along to the pounds or letting them go and then the pounds having to pick them up? Has that exacerbated the problem?
Yeah, I'm afraid so, particularly dogs. You know, we're seeing a lot of dogs in need under 2 and 3 years old, so that ties in with the time of lockdowns and people being home alone and perhaps lonely, and so they've gone and bought some cute puppies or kittens, and that animal is no longer so cute and bigger, and they're going back to work, have less time for them, so those animals are really suffering right now,
which is a bit unfortunate, because I remember having lived through the pandemic, as we all did, they were warning people not to do that. They weren't mm-hmm. they were saying don't buy an animal unless you're going to keep the animal after COVID, but obviously they just didn't take any notice of that.
Not enough, no. And a lot of the, particularly the dogs in need, are untrained, they're unsocialised, they haven't been given any of those early lessons that they've needed. So
they just bought them and kept them at home because that made them feel good, and now...
Yeah, in the backyard or whatever, and perhaps didn't even exercise them much because of lockdowns. You're allowed to go out sometimes during the day, but still a lot of the dogs that are coming in do seem really afraid of the world, so I don't think they've been out a lot at all. And
I know I took my dog out often because that was the reason you were allowed to go out to exercise the dog.
You would have thought so.
So I think mine probably got sick of walking. All right, well, look, again, we need to stress that the volunteers don't have to have veterinary experience or anything like that. Anybody can be a dog walker or a kitten cuddler. That seems to be the pretty easy gig. You just turn up and cuddle a kitten and go home and say, oh, I've done a day's work.
Exactly. And a lot of the volunteers say it's really animal therapy for them. It works both ways. You know, they might be lonely or bored.
Oh, I never thought that.
Yeah, and they leave feeling like they've made a difference, so they feel better too.
Yeah, I actually hadn't thought of that. Like when we talk about volunteers or just thinking what did it do for the cat or the kitten. But we're not saying that. We're saying that it's...
Yeah.
It's good for the person themselves. They can come out, socialise a bit because there are other volunteers there, of course.
You have a cuppa.
We have a meeting room where you can sit and have lunch and a cuppa and a dog by your side.
Oh, that's all right.
Most likely will try and take most of your dinner, but it's amazing what a pair of soulful eyes and a paw put on the lap can do.
That happens to us all with our dogs at home too. You think, oh, buzz off, but you still give them stuff, don't you?
I get to eat a full meal without a dog helping me.
Look, I think it's a terrific organisation that you run, and as I say, we'll get you back, Saskia, late in the year just to hear a bit about your life as to what brought you to this point of wanting to do it. But, I mean, we can only suggest that, the easiest way is to get involved is if you want to knit some dog coats. I mean, you can do them at home whenever you feel like it, can't you?
True, very true. Yes.
And then just drop them down here to the Wiri Community House. Look, unfortunately, it's time for us to move on, but I hope everything goes well for you. I hope we can get some more volunteers for you. And I've never heard said before pocket pets. Tell me, why do they call them pocket pets? I wouldn't want to put a rabbit in my pocket.
I wouldn't either. I don't know where the expression came from, but I suppose it just refers to any animal that's, you know, a lot smaller than a cat. And, yeah, you could literally carry around in your pocket if you had to, but I wouldn't recommend it.
Tell me, how often do you get the big animals like the horses and that? Do you get a lot of them or are they better looked after?
No, I think they're just in as much need, but in the last 2 weeks we've had to knock back 3 horses in need because we just simply don't have the resources to take more horses at the moment. So, it's very, very sad.
With a horse like those, do you know why they're handed in? Is it just get old and people think, oh, I can't be bothered spending money on this horse anymore?
It tends to be financial. Horses are such a huge financial commitment, and the stories we hear often, people that have hit hard times and just can't afford to feed the horses anymore. So some of the horses that have come in have been skin and bone. It's been really distressing.
That does seem to be that all horses do seem to be fairly expensive to keep.
Definitely.
All right, look, unfortunately, the 2 o'clock. Yeah, the afternoon's popping along. The 2 o'clock news is with it. Thank you again for you both coming in. I wish you well. And we'd certainly love to get some more donations for you because it does cost money to feed all these animals. And Ezra, no doubt, likes some help feeding them all. Do you feed them twice a day or just in the morning?
Twice a day. Yeah.
Blimey.
Well, the dogs get one feed a day and the other animals twice a day.
All right.
It's busy.
Unfortunately, I've got to go, but thanks for coming.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
Thanks, bye.